in the history of saying fuck the Falcons, this is the best fucking the Falcons have ever had in their whole entire life. I hope you record this and put this on your little podcast, because the Falcons have been fucked. And I never had any doubt that they were going to fucking lose. Never had any doubt that they were going to lose. And now they have lost, and I feel so good. It feels almost as if the Saints have won, let's say, like an NFC championship, given that the Falcons have lost the fucking Super Bowl. Later.
Everything is great. Everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand.
Everything is perfect. It's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face.
Life's a happy song, and there's someone by my side to sing along.
When you're alone, life can be a little rough. It makes you feel like you're 3 foot tall. When it's just you, well, times can be tough. When there's no one there to catch your fall.
Everything is great, everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand. Everything is perfect, it's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face. Life smells like a rose,
with someone to paint
and someone to pose. Life's a piece of cake, with someone to pedal,
someone to break.
Life is full of glee,
with someone to saw,
someone to see. Life's a happy song, when there's someone by my side to sing along. I've got everything that I need right in front of me. Nothing's stopping me, nothing that I can't be with you right here next to me.
Life's a piece of cake.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating right now, I'm going to go with a 1, bordering 2. It'll be a 2 by the time we finish this intro. How about that model franchise? I mean, I'm sure many of you listening wondering what we think about the Super Bowl. Don't you worry, you're about to find out. But I think you could also predict what we feel about it, because it's the same thing you feel about it. Now, let's not get carried away. We got lots of other things to talk about besides the Falcons suffering through the most epic failure in all of sports history.
Do we? I don't want to talk about anything but that.
Well, you'll get your chance. Put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy this one, folks. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to go to 2.5.
Mm.
You know what happens if you take away the decimal?
You get a 2.
And? You're really not getting this?
I mean, I get the 0.5. That's what
25!
Thank you, Damon! Thank you!
This guy is fucking stupid!
All right, Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm feeling wonderful! Wonderful! The second greatest Super Bowl of all time.
Right? And this is maybe the happiest we've ever been on a podcast since the beginning of football season this year, right?
100%. The Next. Falcons are the gift that keeps on giving.
So let's not waste any time and get right into the game recap.
Bombs are flying. People are dying. Children are crying, politicians are lying too. Cancer is killing, Texaco's spilling. The whole world's gone to hell, but how are you?
I'm super, thanks for asking. All things considered, I couldn't be better, I must say. I'm feeling super, no, nothing bugs me. Everything is super when you're, don't you think I look cute in this hat?
So now, before we begin, I did see a meme about the Garoppolo. Is he a better quarterback now than Drew Brees and Peyton Manning? Because he's only been playing for about 3 years, and he's got 2 Super Bowl rings. You want to trade that number one draft pick now? All right, now let's get into the game. I think it was the tale of two halves.
Not even a full half, though. The Falcons pretty much dominated for three quarters. You know, even the going into, you know, the third quarter with 8:30 left, it was 28-3. So the Patriots didn't even need two full quarters.
It's absolutely amazing. And, you know, the Falcons dominated the game, but, man, the Pats had those two turnovers in Falcon territory that really just killed anything they were doing. And just how, I mean, at 28-3, you know, I was at a party at Trey's, and first you get the pick six, and you're like, oh, come on.
Oh, I know.
And then it goes 28-3, and at that point, I was like, man.
I'll admit, I turned it off for a little while.
I didn't turn it off, but I was like, I'm just going to keep drinking now because.
Well, no offense, Jason, you were at someone's house. I mean, that would have been kind of rude.
I don't know. I might have. I'd have been like, you know what?
That would have been funny.
If you'd have been at my house, you'd turn my TV off. I don't know. We might have had a scuffle there. So. You know, you really didn't have an option to turn the TV off, did you? You know?
Well, we were at a Super Bowl party at a friend's house. We left at halftime. And when we got home, I did not turn the game back on until a little while later. And I was just like, you know what? I guess, I had DVR'd it. I was going to end up watching it, but I was and it was getting kind of late, and I was just kind of laying in bed. I'm like, I had nothing else to do. So I was like, you know what? I may as well just turn it on in the background and see what's going on. Well, when I turned it on, the Patriots were down, 21-28 or so, or 20-28 or something. I was like, wow, we got ourselves a football game, don't we?
I have to say, I turned it off. I turned it off, and I was DVRing it. I turned it off. They had a Walking Dead marathon. I put on Walking Dead. And then I was texting with y'all two and a friend of mine in Miami.
Shit started to get escalated, didn't it?
Well, then he texted me, now we have a game. Mm. And I'm like, oh, no. And then I have this superstition. I did it with the Saints against Miami. I did it with the Saints in Washington. I can't watch the game. Look, it's a stupid superstition, okay? But anyway, I don't watch it on TV. I put it on Yahoo. They have like a game channel, and it keeps you up to date with the stats. You know, Patriots have the ball, 23-yard line, you know, 3rd and 5, whatever. So that's where I have to watch it. But see, no video. And so that's where I watch, you know, because if I turn it on, you know, I don't know, something happens. Like right. I don't. It's silly, but that's my. Anyway, walked it that way. So jumping up and down, running through the house like the Saints had won the Super Bowl. Again, the second happiest I've ever been in a Super Bowl.
Right.
Right. Then I sat down, and I think I've watched the last quarter and a half at least 3 times since then.
The meltdown.
Dude.
They had it. I mean, I don't know if I should be laughing at the Falcons' inability to close the deal or at the Patriots' just ability to never give up and just stay cool, right? And it's funny because when we left the party, I was telling my friend, I was like, look, you know, he's a Patriots fan. So it was a Patriots party, right? And we were standing outside by the car, and I was like, look, I said, I thought, at that point, I was like, you know what? The Falcons came in with that momentum and that enthusiasm, and they were the underdog. They were coming in, and they were riled up, and they were ready. And the Patriots, just that first half, felt like they came in with, you know what? We're never going to lose our cool. We're going to be calm, cool, collected. But maybe they were too calm, cool, and collected to where they couldn't get up. You know, they couldn't get it up. They were just like, yeah.
Well, you know something about that.
Yeah, I know not anything about that. So
you know not anything about that, right?
A double negative, I mean, he does know that.
That's exactly.
So I'm laughing because I was sitting there thinking that the fact that the Patriots were so the veteran, you know, been here, done that, we're not going to get over excited about anything, was going to be their downfall at that point. But that's actually what kept them, because it took one turn of events for the Falcons to just lose their shit, and it was like a snowball effect, and the Patriots just built and built and built on it, right? I mean,
it's pretty amazing to watch.
But
Falcons stuck to their guns and just, I mean,
but the Falcons became the Falcons, right? Hold on, stop.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right, I mean, that's what we've been waiting for, you know, for 2 games, the Seattle game and the Green Bay game. The Falcons did what they became the Falcons. Matt Ryan became Matt Ryan.
Shit.
And Tom Brady and shit himself. And Tom Brady became Tom Brady. For 3.5 quarters, we didn't see it. And then it clicked, and they became, both teams became who they are, and the Falcons shit the field, shit their pants.
Awesome. It was really
shit
awesome.
The field. Well, but do you think, I mean, was it something to, was there something to be said? Like, the Falcons never made any adjustments. I mean, and why would they, I guess? Because they were doing well with what they were doing, but the right. Patriots adjusted.
Did they?
Yeah, Patriots just spread them wide and just pass. I mean, what did Brady have? 62 attempts, I think?
Yeah. Matt Ryan had 23 attempts.
Dude, the Patriots ran over twice as many plays.
Right. So what people are saying, I'm sorry to interrupt you, is that it gassed the Falcons defense.
Yeah, they were. You could
definitely
tell
they were tired. There was no doubt in my mind when the Pats won the toss that they were going to go down and score a touchdown, and that's it.
That was the worst thing to happen for the Falcons. But now my question is, was overtime even necessary? Because I kind of feel like that blocked extra point.
Yeah.
Well, hold on. The blocked extra point that the Patriots did on the Falcons was called for a flag. That shouldn't have been a flag.
Well,
the Patriots, if everything would have played out exactly the same, the Patriots would have got that 2-point conversion, and they would.
Well, but hold on. You say that, but they wouldn't have gone for that second 2-point conversion. They would have just kicked the
right,
point.
Right. Right.
Or maybe they do go for the 2 and
no,
say, well,
no. They definitely would not have gone for that extra 2-point conversion.
But even still, that was a bullshit penalty.
Who cares?
Yeah, it was.
Atlanta choked the game away. 25 points. 25 points. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. The previous record for comeback was 10. Three teams did it, including us.
Yeah.
Two and a half times.
Atlanta had a 96.9% chance to win the game at halftime. 96%! I'll take that every day.
It was higher than that in the third quarter.
Yeah, you're right.
It is, again, everybody, the most epic failure of all time.
It has to be.
Only Atlanta could do that. The most epic failure of all time. This is what you don't get over that. You don't get over that in the Super Bowl.
And
I hope
that you don't. You're right. I hope you don't. But and I hope
you don't.
No, man. You know how? I mean, this is
the fuck. Do you get over that? Those fans, when it was 28-3, they were. We've won. We've won a Super Bowl.
Arthur Blank partying up in the box. That was great to see Arthur Blank. Then dancing around, and then him after the game.
You know, it's what I was telling my buddy. For Atlanta, it's even worse because, okay, they shared – New Orleans and Atlanta share a history of failure throughout, you know, much of their creation, okay? And then they had to watch us in 2009 win a Super Bowl, and that had to kill them, okay? Because imagine how it would have killed us. So they want to – so not only do you not win it, but
for the
Saints
time.
Are still – Right, the Saints are still waggling their dick in your face. And now the Saints fans are laughing at you incredibly. You
Dude,
know?
The 24 hours after the game on Twitter was just incredible.
Oh, everything. Everything was great. It was just wonderful. TV.
Everything.
If you're an Atlanta fan, you can't turn the fucking TV on. Every show I watch talked about the Super Bowl and the epic
You
clap.
Couldn't turn the internet on either.
Right? You had to do what they mostly do is shove their heads up their asses.
And just I don't subscribe to the people who say, oh, the Patriots didn't win it, the Falcons blew it. No.
Bullshit.
Well, hold on. I guess
they're referring to when they were in field goal position to put the game away.
Jesus Christ, they were in field goal position? Yes, of course it was. We just talked about that. At the 20-something yard line, you run it three times, you kick a field goal, game over.
Right. Right.
That's it.
Who just talked about that? I didn't talk about that.
You had the sack. Then you had the play where they got the yardage back, and then there's a holding penalty. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, perfect.
Right. You're on the 22-yard line, and you fuck it up. Now,
and they have the all-pro kicker.
Well, right. But now let me – I'm not going
– Renee just said, too bad, so sad.
No, but look. they're shitty coach and their shitty quarterback, literally shitty. But the shitty coach and quarterback both said, "Look, we played aggressive all year long, and that's what we did." I can understand that. But anyway, you know that both their quarter, they said that we were aggressive all season long, and that's why we did what we did. You know, decided to pass the ball on second down. I can respect that, right?
Yes.
Do what brought you here,
but
right?
You got right. But and the whole thing is Matt Ryan himself should have known to throw it away. And they, some people say he was trying to throw it away.
He was busy shitting his pants. Right, but you can't least, do both.
At least, you know, after, you know, on second down, after the sack, you're like, all right, we'll just run it to keep yourself in field goal range, give you a chance for third down, and nope. In the Super Bowl, that's what you have to do. You have to adjust. You have to change to what you see on the field.
Well, that's true, too.
It was glorious. What? It was just glorious to watch it. You know, because I drive down there, and I'm thinking, okay, this is it. They kick the field goal, and the comeback's over, but sack? The hold, it's like the incomplete. I'm like, holy shit, they can't. Oh man, oh, it was so much
fun. But follow that up with a miraculous catch by Edelman.
Amazing.
The most amazing catch I've ever seen in sport in anything of my life.
It was epic, but if they don't get that catch, I don't believe the game changes.
I do.
No, I mean, they still probably get it because they go for it, but.
Well, it wasn't third down, right? It was a second down catch.
Second
or a
down, yeah.
Catch.
Yeah, second.
Right. So, right. I mean, still. It wasn't a fourth. Right. But it wasn't a fourth down catch.
But the everything that catch does for the rest of the team, like it's that magical, intangible. Like everybody at that point that you believe in yourself and your team so much more. That helps the rest of the Patriots to, shall I say, rise up. And everybody plays a little bit harder because of that. I mean, those little things matter. That counts.
No, it does. It does. And it helps deflate the defense also.
Oh, right. The rise down.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, so many. Look, I counted six times in that game where I said game over. Okay? When the pick six to make it, well, when they went up by 14, just because no one had ever come back by more than 10. Okay? Then the pick six made it 21-0.
Oh yeah,
fuck. Yeah. It was just
fuck.
Like the worst
game
feeling.
Game is over. Atlanta's going to be a Super Bowl champion. I can't stand this. I can't. I wasn't going to be able to watch TV for 6 months.
Six.
You know. Then until the season started.
No,
then
you couldn't watch the NFL Network for sure.
Right. Right. Then it became. Then it became. You know, Patriots kick a field goal. And Atlanta scored a touchdown, 28-3, 25 points. They can't come back from that. Game over. Game over. Then that Julio Jones catch at the 22, like you said. Fuck, are you going to field goal? You know, okay, that's four times. I forgot what the other two were. But, you know, the Patriots scored a touchdown, and they missed the fucking extra point. Fuck. Patriots doing an onside kick.
How about that rule coming back in the Super Bowl, right? Moving the extra point line.
Yeah. But no, right. But then they do the onside kick and don't get it. Game over. I mean, everything was just, oh, fuck the Falcons. You know, fuck, you know.
Fuck.
It was the worst possible outcome.
That was not fuck the Falcons. That was fuck, comma, the Falcons.
You know, like you're staring, right. You're looking at the way the game was going, like a Falcons just blowout, and you're like, oh, fuck. Like, possible scenario.
There's no way. I don't think. All right. So what was the stat now? Now teams.
There were teams that were up by 25 or more points since 1990 were four wins, 1,053 losses.
But even in the Super Bowl, or there was a stat. That was 93.
No,
they
were all games. All games.
That was all games in 1990.
All games.
Okay.
You know, I'm not sure what stat you're trying to.
26 years of.
Well, it'll come up in look at them tweets because I think somebody tweeted one too. So okay, it's still to this. I mean, I don't know that'll ever happen again.
It hasn't happened in 50 years. 50 fucking years of the Super Bowl. No team has embarrassed themselves that bad. And the Super Bowl, there have been blowouts.
Yes.
Huge blowouts.
This was on the path to be one.
Look, I love now the legacy of this game. I mean, in addition to the Falcons losing in the worst possible way, the fact that there's so much – people are always going to remember this game. Like, if Atlanta did kick the field goal and ended up winning by three, nobody really thinks anything of it. Right. But the fact that – I mean, look at it. This was the first overtime game in Super Bowl history. So you've got that going for you. Yeah. Then you had just the epic collapse.
Yep.
Instead of being just a normal good Super Bowl game. Like, you're right, historic. Everybody will always remember this game.
Right.
In the history of sports.
They can't come. They're done. They are done. And the fan base, this would make me stop watching football.
Oh, and they got their new stadium next year. Damon and Jason, they got their new stadium next year, right?
The asshole, right. The metal asshole.
Perfect.
So great. Look, so after
because that's where they take it.
So after the game, I went on the Falcons message board.
Yeah, you did.
I got the KY jelly.
What is this? What is the suicide rate?
I dropped my pants.
In Atlanta.
What?
What's the suicide rate in Atlanta that night?
I don't know. And I start. Their fans. For a delusional list, I have to say I love them because. No one brings me so much joy than the Atlanta Falcons fan. I sustain myself with their tears. It's my sustenance. I feel wonderful.
You are their Negan.
Oh my goodness! Look, and one of them had a post. The thread was the title was, "Suck it, Saints fans. Your worst nightmare just came true. Keep talking in the past. Keep talking about 2010. You know, 7 freaking years ago. Keep talking about how you have a Lombardi and we don't. Oh, wait. And Breeze is getting older. Really old." I love it. And what a fucking retard starts that. I mean, that's their mentality.
It's so awesome. It's glorious.
It's glorious. And then I don't know. There's this one asshole called. He's on YouTube called Sports Live in the ATL. And
Kurt Mambra.
Right. And he was the one that, if you remember, he was a Falcon fan who cried after the 2012 loss to San Francisco. He apparently it's a big thing on YouTube. Fans, you know, talk shit to one another. And he talks so much shit about the Saints. And calling us the Aints and the Poodads and all that, you know. This guy was so devastated, he quit making his videos on YouTube.
It would be like us stopping the podcast.
Right, exactly. Right. I mean, that is wonderful. Their fan base is that. Never have they been lower.
Total collapse.
Yeah.
You know, never have they been. I mean, can you imagine the high of 28-3? The high you must be on.
Have you?
I know what I would have been feeling like if the Saints were 28-3.
Right, and then losing.
I would have been celebrating. I mean, I would have been ordering my Super Bowl shirt by that point. My championship shirt. I'd have been on NFL.com ordering my.
Well, no doubt. Look, the good thing about that is all those African children who'll get those
Falcon shirts.
Shit, man!
I was about to say, did y'all see that meme with the third world country kid dancing? And it's like Falcon shirt to arrive tomorrow. Dude. Okay, so all right. So one quick thing I want to ask, though. You remember, what was it, Seattle when they lost the Super Bowl? And the big thing about it was they were right there on the goal line, and they threw the ball, and everybody got
instead
on them.
Instead of running.
Not running.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
you don't put it. You don't
right.
do it. Okay, well, that's how New England won. You don't put the ball in Tom Brady's hand. You ran the ball to win the game. They did the same thing, but it worked for them.
True. The first down in overtime, Tom Brady did throw it.
Yeah, they threw that, and I hate the stupid fade to the corner on the 1 yard line. I hate that play.
Right.
Yeah, I hate that.
I know, but
you know,
you're the 1 yard line. Just fucking pound it in.
Mm. They did throw it.
Thanks to
you know,
it.
So they threw. You know, they did both. They threw one, it didn't get in, then they ran it, and they got in. And you know, the good thing
is everything. But if I had to choose.
Is the Falcons head coach
coach was the coordinator in Seattle.
The coordinator in Seattle, right.
Yeah, that's great.
So he really has to hate New England. I mean, both times, you know, but the Seattle-New England games, New England was up, and they just stopped
him.
Yeah,
right.
Obviously, he didn't call the offensive play, but still, this is twice he thought he was going to be a Super Bowl champion, and New England stopped him.
All right, so now let's talk about how Goodell had to hand the trophy over.
Oh.
To Tom, he had to shake Tom Brady's hand. He had to booze. Did you
The
booze.
Incredible and wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, Patriot fan, for booing him in front of 112 million people. So loud that on the original broadcast you couldn't even hear him.
He paused. He paused, and there was a moment where you could tell that he was contemplating, what do I do about this? But he just kept with his speech and talking to Robert Kraft, and that was fine. And look, I'm gonna I hate to do this, but I'm gonna go the high road. They did come back and show the footage where he shook Tom Brady's hand, you know, during the commercial break. And said congratulations. You know, I mean, look, he suspended Tom Brady. There's that whole ordeal, and that's why they booed him and all that. But and this is not going to change anything. Goodell's not. It's not like he's going to step down as commissioner because he got booed or anything. But it was nice to that everyone shares our hatred for this man.
Yeah, fuck him. Yeah, nobody likes him. Everybody hates him. It's going to be a nice one. It happens next year, except when he's handing the trophy to Drew Brees.
It'll be just as many boos, if not more. So, right. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, obviously the greatest coach-quarterback combination, but at this point, individually, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL, and Bill Belichick's the greatest coach in the NFL.
There's really no debating it anymore.
It's hard to debate it. Yeah. I remember 2 years ago, we did a podcast, and somebody, I forget who.
That's where we came up with model franchise, isn't it?
Right. Yeah. Somebody didn't like the model franchise. Who was that?
Not that I didn't like the model franchise.
You didn't feel like they were the model franchise.
Right. And they've only won 2 Super Bowls since then.
That's it. How many days until since the Pats won a Super Bowl?
Three.
Recorded
three.
The clock is, it's like on the plants where they're like days since an accident, 253 or whatever. It's now days since the Pats won a Super Bowl, 3.
It worked so well for 10 years. Right. 10 years without an incident.
Dude, think about it. Look, that's not our team, right? We're Saints, obviously. But it is pretty cool to live at a time where you're watching the greatest dynasty in sports history.
Yeah.
It's greatness. People love watching greatness.
I do. Well, now some people don't. Now some people
don't. Some people don't.
Well, you want to knock them everybody down. Everybody should.
Right?
Right.
I mean, you know, at this point, I love the I wanted the Patriots to win, not just cuz the Falcons. If it was anybody, I don't care except the Saints. If it was any team from the NFC except New Orleans, I still wanted the Patriots to win only because I want to see the winner win. Like, I'm okay.
Well,
with
wait
that.
A second. I mean, I kind of remember Jason giving me shit about, you know, kind of pulling for the Pats because I like to watch their success.
Well, it's Jason, not me.
I didn't give you shit. I gave you shit because you just sucked Tom Brady's cock.
Because he's the greatest. I'm not the one who just said that he's the greatest of all time.
No, you didn't.
He deserves. I'm not the one. He deserves to have Damon suck his cock.
You know.
All right.
I mean, I'm not the one who just said that. So, are you sucking his cock now? How did it taste?
The greatest. Hey, huh? he made Atlanta mean blowing a 25-point lead.
Dude,
you know?
Amazing.
Amazing. But not only did we witness greatness with Belichick and Brady becoming the greatest of all time, we witnessed greatness in the fact that this is going to be the most remembered Super Bowl possibly in the history.
Yes.
Of the Super Bowl.
And Atlanta maybe the fans, second would be the Saints when we beat Peyton Manning.
Remember how Atlanta fans hated seeing Gleason's block punt. They had to live with that. Now they have to live with this. That's, like you said, it's going to be shown on every network.
Every
all the time,
year.
You know,
for the rest
time,
of history,
every right? For the rest
year.
Of history, anytime they talk about Super Bowls, it's going to be the talking about the greatest.
It's instant
when, you know,
classic, and it's going to be played on the NFL Network for the next 6 months every other.
Dude,
week.
Think about right. it. There will probably be a 30 for 30 on this collapse.
Yeah. Right, right.
A 30 for 30 dedicated to
right. oh,
the worst right. loss in history.
The war.
What if I told you that Atlanta owned a 28-3 lead in the third quarter?
Now, let me ask you, because my friend of mine and I were talking about this, and I think the answer is simple, but I'll give you the option. If you're the Saints, would you have rather gone through the season we had, 7-9, not there, bad season, or done what the Falcons did?
7-9, season we had.
Yeah.
Undoubtedly.
Without a doubt. Falcons did. I don't want to have the chance and lose it like that.
No. Look, normally, in any normal, let's say they just, it's a close game and the Saints lose. It's a normal Super Bowl loss. It's crushing, right? I mean,
that alone is crushing.
We're lucky that we won our Super Bowl. I don't want to experience a Super Bowl loss, but to experience the worst loss ever.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
Like, yeah,
We've talked about this on
the podcast before, and I can't remember what everybody's position was on it, but remember we talked about, like, the whole position was, would you rather just go to the playoffs every year and skip the Super Bowl, or would you rather go to the Super Bowl and lose it? And I think we all landed on, I'd rather go to the playoffs and not reach the Super Bowl if I'm not going to win it. Like, I don't want to go to the Super Bowl if I'm going to lose it. I would rather lose the NFC Championship game than lose the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because, I mean, just losing the Super Bowl,
it's crushing.
And again, it's different for, Patriots fans.
I don't know how the Bills lost four in a row. They haven't recovered since today.
Right.
That's pretty stunning.
Right. But Patriots fans and Steelers fans probably have a different view than we do, because they've been there so many times. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they can handle a loss. Eli
and they,
if
they have
six wins. I mean, they may have three losses, four losses.
Right.
You got six wins. It doesn't matter.
Right. So, I mean,
every 3 years. I mean, shit.
Right. So if you're telling me, okay, if we go, if we go seven times, and we're going to win five of them, then yes, I'll take that.
Yes.
I'll take a 5-7 ratio.
Yes.
But with us, that's why 2009 was so incredible, because, we always talked about the Super Bowl, but it's like talking about fucking Pam Anderson. It's never really going to happen.
Your chances of even getting to the Super Bowl, I mean, at this point, right. The reason why it matters to win so much, Falcons, Saints, same thing. Anybody but the Patriots, is because you got one shot. It is likely that you might have one shot in 20 years.
Right. And that's almost, with 18 years since they got crushed by Denver.
Unless you're Cleveland, then you got no shot.
Yeah. But this, blowing a 25-point lead. It's hilarious.
So,
yeah,
it's
the greatest thing of all time.
Now let me be
right. Right. We couldn't have imagined in our wildest dreams the Falcons were going to give us this.
I couldn't have scripted it any better myself. If you'd have asked me, because that's just ludicrous. You'd have called me crazy.
Okay, so that is
going to blow 25.
I mean, think about it. This is better than if New England blows them out like 40-10.
This is better. If New England scored 109 points, this is better. If it had been 109-0,
but that is a good segue into the question, the conspiracy theory. If you had, like, look at it like the, all right, the Cubs with the World Series were down and came from an epic comeback, right? Come back and win. The college national championship, the way that Clemson came back and won. And now the Super Bowl. The point being, all the comebacks in all the major sports championship games. Is it rigged for TV ratings?
That's so fucking
stupid. No, this just happened to be, like, this is the best year of major sports endings.
So we're that. Okay.
Nope.
Right. Except for Tiger.
The greatest one-year time period. Just, now, I know there's not a lot of tennis fans out there, but look what you had last week in the Australian Open. You had the Williams sisters fighting for the women, and you had Federer and Nadal, the two greatest men's players ever. Like, nobody thought those four people would have been in the Final Four. Like, every major so many big sporting events have been just absolutely incredible this year.
Okay. Look, I think I've said it on the show before, and I'll say it one more time, why I don't believe in conspiracy theories. They're fun to listen to. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy listening to them, but they're so stupid. The president of the United States couldn't get a blowjob in the Oval Office without everybody finding out. Okay. All right. You understand that? Mm-hmm. So you think that you're going to get fucking 200 people to keep a secret? Mm-hmm. It doesn't happen.
That's
the
true.
Only way you can keep a secret is if you're the only one who knows.
Well, there you go.
If you do a crime with somebody, kill the other person.
Kill him, yep.
That's, I mean, I'm sorry, you know, so that's why.
Okay. So then let's move into the halftime show, Lady Gaga. Anything to say about that?
I thought it was good.
Yeah, he did well. I mean, that's your thing.
I love the stage dive.
Thank you. That's right.
Love the stage dive.
I did also. But Jason just said it. He's a great performer. Our music is, I guess that's what that.
Well, I was waiting for, you know how the last few years with this halftime show, the headliner's there, but there's always like another performer that kind of shows up. Like, you know, if it's Britney Spears, then Aerosmith joins her or somebody. Right. There's always like a joint performer. It was just solely her this time.
Mm-hmm.
And she carried it. She carried it.
They did a lot of good choreography.
She's a top notch. She's one of the best entertainers in the world.
Right. He did a lot of choreography and, you know, yeah. And in that setting, that's what they want. That's what you want.
Sure.
At the halftime of the Super Bowl, you want, you know, now personally, if I'm listening to music, look, I'd rather, you know, George Strait can sit on a stool with a guitar and
right.
Sing. Oh, that would be the worst halftime ever.
But well, you need to perform.
Did you not follow what I say, Jason? Am I going too fast for you? I said, in that setting, that is what you want.
Right. Now, I will say, and of course, it was littered with some political commentary, but put that aside.
Not really.
Where?
Yeah, where was it? Not really.
Where?
Well, her opening with the whole "God bless USA, this land is our land" kind of thing. Like she brought in the whole.
You've never heard those songs before?
I have, but there's a reason why she sung them when she sung them.
God bless the USA. I mean, I think we all can agree with that, right?
Not that part, but it's littered with commentary. I'm not going to go into it because I don't want to get into a political debate.
I watched it.
But it was.
I'm definitely more conservative than the two of y'all, and I watched and didn't have a problem. I don't think, you know.
Well, I'm happy to hear that.
Again,
I think that she sung
patriotic songs.
Right. Okay.
Everybody agrees with.
I'm glad.
Everybody agreed with those two songs.
Well, I'm glad you see that way because there are there's a contingency that feels like she.
There's a contingency that if you give everybody $1 million, they're going to be pissed off. Okay?
You're right.
There's a contingency that always wants to be an asshole like Jason. That's a Jason contingency.
Okay. Oh my God. So I'm glad he's on you tonight, not me. So
I didn't even say shit.
Well, show that over, Jason. I've been looking forward to this show for a while.
Okay, so. But that being said, I will say, in watching the halftime show, I will say, yes, great performance. She carried the stage. She carried everything. She didn't need, quote, help from another whatever. But what I really liked was you know what it was? She has, like, confidence about her and the performance that she's doing that, like, that's what makes it enjoyable. Like, she trusts all the people that are part of it. That they're going to do their part, and she just, like, lays it out all on the line. Like, I mean, fuck, the way she stage dove. Dude, do you know how
that was incredible. Performer? Yeah, that was pre-taped.
No, yeah, that was recorded.
Yeah, she wasn't pre-taped. Really on top of the
stadium. She didn't do that at the halftime. So.
Right.
Oh, really?
That was that was pre-taped.
Well, then I take back everything I said. Fuck that bitch. She's a fake.
Right. No,
she's Ashley Simpson. She probably lip-synced, too.
No, she did not. No, because you could hear her.
You see how quickly I turned? Fuck her.
No, but they came out and said
Jeff,
that.
You had a 28-3 lead at one point. What did you do?
It's the theme of the show. Okay, commercials. What do you think about them?
I don't remember any
commercials. None of them.
And you know what, though? Like, commercials haven't been good for the past few years. It's just not the same. Like a lot of them are movie trailers, which I usually do enjoy, but they started leaking them out before the game.
I saw all the good commercials before the game.
Right, exactly. And they've been doing that, like Jason just said, for several years.
And there weren't any good ones other than, like, and here's the funny thing. I thought the Cam Newton commercial was horrible, but my kids loved it. My kids were like, that was my favorite commercial. They loved it.
You need to punish them 2 weeks for liking anything Cam Newton.
Right? Yeah. Maybe that's why I hate it. But that's what I'm saying. Maybe we're too old. We've already seen every type of commercial you could see. And wait, did y'all see a Budweiser commercial with the Clydesdales? I didn't.
No, but I don't think they did the Clydesdales last year either. I thought at some point they were retiring them.
Yeah, maybe so.
I didn't see a Budweiser commercial.
Was there a commercial with a ghost of Spuds McKenzie?
Oh, I didn't catch that either. I
heard they were maybe going to do it. Look, no. I didn't see or I don't remember.
Bud Light presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller.
Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller.
You stand like a sentry outside the grounds of our national pastime, offering us your salty nuts.
Nice and crunchy.
Half price on the outside, all the taste. That's your pitch.
Nuts for scratch.
There's nothing like spending a summer day on a hard bleacher seat, crunching your nuts.
Crunch, crunch.
Unless maybe it's sitting behind home plate, spreading mustard on your wiener. So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller, because thanks to you, a bag of peanuts costs just peanuts.
Mr. Outside the Stadium Peanut Seller.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah, the commercials are, for the last several years, have not been, you know, must-see TV like they were for a while.
Yeah, they're pretty.
We don't have any more ideas for commercials anymore. We waste
right, everything. Well, like Jason said, they're promoting, you know, the new movie or whatever, you know, movie trailer,
which
stuff
is just
like
a movie, and that's fine if you want to do it. Like Pirates of the Caribbean, great movie trailer,
right? Nothing.
But like, yeah, a standard commercial. You know why though? Because the things that are the people that can afford to advertise at this point are the boring thing. Like Doritos is not even doing commercials. Budweiser's not doing commercials. Pepsi's not doing commercials. It's like E-Trade, and you know, in business, it's business to business solutions. It's no longer.
Well, you know, that might have always been the case. Like you said, Budweiser. I mean, they're a huge, you know, corporation with. But
oh wait, Budweiser did do that commercial where they basically said if they went political, they said if you wouldn't be drinking Budweiser if it weren't for immigration.
Right, the Andolf Bush commercial. Yes, that's right. That's right. Right, if it wasn't for immigrants, you know.
Right.
But anyway, they don't get the point. But besides that, but yeah, they don't do anything.
Right, that guy didn't come in to terrorize the country.
Well, right, yeah, but we're not a political show.
That's right. Sorry.
But yeah, but the commercials.
No, we're a blown 25-point lead show.
Yeah, they're. They are the laughing stock of Super Bowls.
Of sports, right? Of the world,
of
right?
Of the world.
Of the world.
Ha ha!
This whole thing, we could just call the name of this episode. Ha ha!
Seriously, right? Okay. Final statements on the Super Bowl before we move to headlines.
Well, okay. I have two little things that are not really about the game, but we saw as we watched the telecast. How about that kiss ass Kenny Chesney?
What?
Y'all didn't notice that Kenny Chesney was in the owner's box with the Pats?
No.
You don't remember? I thought him and Sean Payton were BFFs.
Well, he's allowed to be friends with more people than Sean Payton.
I know, but fuck him anyway. And then, and here's another complaint. Not just the Super Bowl, but we see it in every game, okay? The players have to stop bitching about concussions if they're going to continue to headbutt each other after a big play. Did you notice that after the
that's what players have been doing for a little
I know time. But I mean, dude, they headbutt the shit out of one another. I mean, after one of the last two touchdowns, I forget, but they headbutted Edelman. I mean Jesus Christ, that's, you know, that'd be a flag if it would happen during the play. So look, if you know, concussions are so terrible and head hitting, then let's stop using it as a celebration.
Yeah.
Just my suggestion.
Well, did you hear there was less concussions this year in the NFL than there was last year?
Well, they stopped reporting them, I guess.
It's
I
like
don't know.
200 and something this year.
Well, good. Let's all.
And it was 200 and something the year before.
Well, that's good. I like hearing that.
Hey, Jason, any final statements on the game?
It was excellent.
Okay, let's move into headlines.
Hello, I'm Kent Brockman, and this is Eye on Springfield.
And so remember, this is Saints related, so, and then we'll get into NFL reach around after this, but the headlines are, hey, Morten Andersen makes it into the Hall of Fame, joining Ricky Jackson and Willie Rolfe.
Very happy.
How about them apples? You see, you forgot about all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
No,
look, he totally deserves it. He is the leading scorer for two NFL franchises and the leading scorer of the NFL, period. So, well deserved. It is nice to see the Hall of Fame committee start recognizing these special teams players. You know, they did the punter 2 years ago.
Yeah, Ray Guy.
Yeah, 2 years ago. And now this year, Morton. So that, yeah. And those two guys deserved it. Those two guys deserve it. I'm not saying that you can put a lot of special teams players in. I can't name you another one who I think belongs there. Maybe Janikowski when he retires.
You mean Vinatieri?
Well, him also, but I'm talking about Janikowski for the Raiders.
Yeah, but he's not. I mean, Vinatieri would make it over Janikowski.
Well, I mean,
because of the big kicks in the playoffs.
Yeah, no doubt the big kicks in the playoffs. But Janikowski is one of the better kickers. Huh?
Just give us your favorite Morton Anderson moments.
Well, look, that's simple for me. I was at the game. Oh, I'm gonna think it was 1987. Could be 1988. Tom Landry's last year with the Cowboys. Monday Night Football inside the Superdome. It's on YouTube somewhere. Go find it. The Saints are down. I'm not forget how many. 2 seconds left. 3 seconds left on the clock. Morton Anderson comes out, kicks a 47-yard field goal, walk-off field goal to win it. Dome goes crazy. It was 88. Morton starts running around the field, like, you know, just in elation. He starts running with his hand. The team's chasing him. They finally catch him and drag him to the ground and beat on him. And it was an amazing moment. And again, that was 1988, so you can look that up. It was great.
Jason, do you have a favorite Morton Anderson moment?
I was at the game when he hit the 60-yarder, against the Bears?
Yep, against the Bears going into halftime. Yep, yeah. That's my second favorite.
That's my memory of Morton Anderson.
And that's the one. And Jason, if you were there, that one could have gone for 70.
Yep.
And I'm not being a homer. That one hit high up on the high up center of the goal That could have gone for 70.
All right. Well, I got one. It was us against San Francisco. I was at that game, and I couldn't tell you how long it was. I just know it was one of those walk off, win the game field goals. He makes it. It's early 90s, back when, Jim Mora and the Dome Patrol was there. And when we won because of that field goal, the Dome, like you said, Damon, the Dome is rocking. And, I mean, people are, the ushers, the, the security people are dancing with the fans. I mean, everybody's celebrating. And I was, being a kid, it was just a memorable moment. Like I said, I couldn't tell you the amount of, it was just those types of kicks. I mean, he just is known for having so many of those. He was Mr. Reliable. He didn't miss. To this day, we hold a high standard for our kickers because of him.
Undoubtedly. No doubt. Now, I was also there.
I said one.
Well, this was, did you say great memories?
I just said one memory. No, go ahead. That's fine.
When he was, I remember when they let him go. I remember where I was.
Oh, yeah.
I was in the backyard. In the swimming pool. That's back when I used to sit out there, listen to Buddy Deliberto, and I was in a cigar phase back then. I think I was 20. And I remember, I can still remember them breaking in, that the Saints released Morton Anderson, and then two days later he signed with Atlanta. Just horrible. And also remember, as with those shitty Falcons, he came into the Dome and I think he had 5 field goals that helped them beat us. But that's all for God.
All right, next headline. Next headline. The Saints hired Mike Nolan as a linebackers coach.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm all for it. Good, not a good head coach, great defensive coach.
Yep. And it'll be nice to have someone and
total upgrade.
Well, God bless Joe Vitt. His football knowledge is probably uncompared, to other people. But our linebackers have never really shined under his leadership. So,
now look, and the way Anthony's season went, I mean,
if
they're going to keep him, if he can get anything out of Anthony, I mean, come on.
Well, there you go. All right. So now let's move into.
Hold on.
You got some more headlines?
There's another coaching hire.
There's a couple of other coaches that we hired.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
Curtis Johnson, back in the fold.
Love it.
Yeah. Only had those 1 year deal with the Bears. Once our spot opened up, he's like, fuck that, I'm going home.
Right. no need to resign here.
Yeah.
And not only do I like what, obviously we all remember what he did you know, in during our Super Bowl run. But he's also great. How to say this? Our running game's going to improve because he is very big on preaching wide receivers bought downfield. Because, you know, that helps the running game tremendously. So I'm looking forward to that, really. I mean, you know, and besides that, he can help everybody continue their great performance from 2016 and add a little bit more. So I am excited about Coach Johnson coming back.
Yep. That was a good one.
All right.
We have another one.
Yeah.
We have another one. We signed a defensive line coach. Signed him today, a guy from NC State, I believe.
Yeah, I know nothing about him.
I don't know anything about him
already
either.
He's already better than...
okay, I thought Nathan had...
He's already better than Bill Johnson.
Yeah. I do wish we had gotten the guy, the ex-49ers head coach that eventually signed with the Jets. Only because I'd heard very good things about the guy.
Oh, yeah. Thomas Ulo?
Yeah.
No, he signed with the...
Washington?
Yeah, Washington.
There you go.
So, I think that's all of our spots filled. I know they interviewed a special teams guy. I think they actually hired another special teams guy.
Oh, yeah, yes. They did. and I don't know nothing about him either.
yes, they did. Okay.
Yes. So that's good. I mean, all our spots are filled. It's February 8th, so I like having these guys in the building. You know, defensive line guy, I like getting a young guy from college, not a retread.
All right, let's move into look at him tweets. So I'm not going to read all the tweets, but pretty much Richard Jeremiah, which is Saints Fan UK, Ash Pimble, Neil, they had a long exchange about buying, you know, Saints tickets, I think, when they played next year. I think Neil got some and says even little Mickey will be going. She'll be three and already a better fan than Damon. sorry, Damon. But they had a little bit of a debate over, or not a debate, but complaining over having to like buy and rebuy tickets from people that are selling them, and now the price hikes are disgraceful and whatnot. In England, I mean,
they had to get up to resale,
right? So that what goes on at the Super Bowl, also. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but I do like the idea that little Mickey, the child that in England that we named. is going to be attending her first Saints game next year.
Why, by God, did we name her Mickey?
Mickey Loomis, when we loved Mickey Loomis.
Yeah.
Mickey, yeah.
We thought he was good.
Remember, her name is Mickey. Her name is Mickey Crescent City Connection.
Remember when Mickey Loomis made good moves?
So then we got one here. This one, Ben Wright retweeted something. That says, Falcons cancel their rally because not enough fans.
Dude, that picture was amazing to see. The Falcons buses pulling into their welcome back party, and there were like 20 people.
They were like, that's all their fans.
there's more people than that at the airport here for every single Saints game this year, even if they lose. And that just showed you they don't fucking care about the Falcons. Although, look, they just suffered through the worst loss in history. But still, they have like 20 people. Absolutely amazing, that picture. Just another reason to just laugh. I mean,
that's 19 more people than I thought they'd have. I mean,
these past few days have just been incredible. Yeah.
Now, Life of Ty came in on the night of the Super Bowl. Please do a show tonight, please. Bull Smith. Oh, my God, I cannot wait for the next podcast. Everybody was waiting for the show, so that's good.
Again, it was the greatest, second greatest Super Bowl ever. I mean,
and now he's Matty Super Shit Pants. That came from Life of Time.
Yes, I mean, this has to be soul crushing. I love it. I love the fact that that they are so depressed. I love this. Fuck Atlanta. Fuck you. Fuck you. You thought you had it. And shame on us for believing they could do anything else but this glorious. Shame on us for being nervous when they got in, thinking that they might win.
Then we got one from Davis Douglas saying, next time, just stay in the suite, Arthur Blank.
It was great. He was down on the field and his wife's just looking up at him, so sad.
His gold digger wife, you mean?
Great.
Hey, look, I'll never feel sorry for a billionaire.
I guess so.
I'm never sorry for a man who owned his own plane. That's the rule in life.
And then we got Zeno. Oh, this is the one. Zeno coming in. Teams with a 19-plus point fourth quarter lead in the postseason are now 93-1 all time. This meltdown was epic.
It's just perfect. It's absolutely perfect.
It cleansed us of our own season, right? I mean, like, everything happened for the Saints this year. Okay.
But it was worth going 7-9 for three straight years to see this.
Yes.
It renewed my faith in football.
Like I said, dude, they're going to lose so many fans because of this. I mean, is that soul crushing? That metal asshole that they built is going to be empty. And remember, they have to pay PSLs. They have to pay PSLs. And I'm sure those PSLs were rolling at the end of this year.
Dude, you know what's going to be awesome when their first home? Because you know the first game of the season next year, the Falcons do play the Pats next year. So
right, that'll be Thursday night.
That rematch
is
game one. But the first game in the metal asshole, it should, and I hope it is the Saints. And somebody mentioned on Twitter, I forget who, might have been Angry Hoot at, I don't remember, but somebody mentioned, like, all the Saints, we all just wear our Reggie Bush jerseys, the 25 on the back. For the first game ever in the middle, we just all wear our Reggie Bush
jerseys.
Oh, that's 25.
Yes.
It's perfect.
That would be awesome.
25, exactly. That's your response to any Falcon fan.
Yeah, they like to wear the number 2. Right?
I mean, could you imagine, like, if you had 20 to 25,000 Saints fans wear 25 jerseys.
Right, right. Make it right. And if you don't have a Reggie jersey,
go get a Raphael
shop.
Bush jersey.
Go to a t-shirt shop and just have them put the number 25 on it.
Right. It's worth
it. If you ever speak to a Falcon fan, just say 25 and walk away. Drop
all
the
right,
mic.
Let's move into NFL Reach Around. First one is, speaking of the Falcons, this is the theme of the show. Michael Vick, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Michael Vick announced before the Super Bowl his retirement. And along that same, Damon, I think you were the one that said, like, players retire when no one's interested in them.
Right, right.
Michael Vick announced his retirement, mainly because nobody was interested in it. And then now, I think a couple days after the Super Bowl, he's announced that he's reviewing his options to come back after he watched Tom Brady in his comeback. Like, he's inspired that he wants to play again.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Michael Vick?
Vick is 36 years old.
Would you have him as a backup?
He's 36 might. Years old.
I might.
He was on no team this year. No, fuck no. He set out the entire 2016 season. I mean, no. Michael Vick is a has
he's done. No, he's done.
All right. Ah, I'm glad you can recognize that, Jason.
All right. Next Falcons-related NFL reach around. The Falcons hire Alabama offensive coordinator with Sarkisian.
Sarkisian. Boy, he didn't stay at Alabama long.
No. What
do you think? Is this going to work for them or not?
No. Think about it. Alabama blew that lead at the end of their championship game.
Right.
And Sarkisian was on staff.
And they fired Brian Cox.
And their defensive coordinator they fired. But, I mean, look, their head coach is a defensive coach. I guess it's not that smart.
Right.
Yeah, but I love the fact that they're, I mean, everything that got them to the Super Bowl, they're like, ah, y'all, fuck you all. Like,
this, well, Jason just said it. Implosion. When you're a defensive coach, you feel like you know that side of the, and I'm sure it works vice versa with an offensive coach. You feel like you know that side of the ball, and you don't really need help.
Yeah, okay. True. Okay, then talk about Matt Ryan receiving the MVP.
Whatever, fuck him. He lost the Super Bowl.
Right. 25 points in the Super Bowl. Right, that's great. Cam Newton and Matty Noodle Arm Shit Pants have a NFL MVP. And Drew Brees had a Super Bowl MVP. Which would you rather?
Super Bowl.
And then there was a stat I've been looking at, or I've been hearing on TV. The last 8 NFL MVP that have appeared in a game in the Super Bowl have lost.
Wow.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning during two. Yeah, he lost. That's the stat they've been saying on TV. The last 8 MVPs who have lost in the Super Bowl, and I think it goes back. It might go further, but you can go as far back as Marshall Faulk when they played the. Who'd they play? Ho! The model franchise.
Superdome.
In the Superdome, right. That's where their greatness started, in the Superdome.
All right, and then Jason Garrett's named AP Coach of the Year for what he did with Dallas.
Whatever. How?
Yeah.
Whatever. How Belichick doesn't get it every year, it's kind of like...
Right.
They may have awarded that one a little too early.
Yeah. But right. Look, they missed Brady for 4 games, and they went 14-2?
14-2.
Right. They shouldn't award this before the Super Bowl, because at this point, Tom Brady deserves the MVP of the league, and the Belichick deserves MVP Coach of the Year every year. Right.
But again, look, those awards, I mean, you know, and what Dallas did was impressive. You know, no one expected it. So, and again, you just can't give it to Belichick and Brady every year, even though obviously they deserve it.
That brings us into Pick'ems. I have a proposal. Since the Falcons won, I think we should just blanket everybody gets the win.
The Falcons didn't win.
I mean, fuck. Since the Falcons lost, I say everybody gets the win to celebrate.
Nope.
We should just
thank
like
you.
Christmas. Everybody gets a win.
Nope. Thank you.
Sorry, Jeff. You finished tied with me at 45-47. Damon wins at 46-46. 500 record wins our pick.
That's okay. I won.
And then the extended version. Now, that's what I actually did do, because actually I don't recall anybody taking the Falcons after so many of them. New England. Yeah, New England. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. This is such a celebratory occasion. I'm going to go ahead and give everybody the win. Except for me. I was willing. You know, I gave myself the loss. And yes. All right. So we have a little bit of a discrepancy. Because.
Uh-oh. Of course.
If you go by percentage of total game, and regardless of how many games you played, Triple D Stud Farm wins.
Okay.
But. At the beginning of the year, we did talk about playing a minimum number of games, and they did not play.
Then that's what we stick by.
Then Nier is the winner.
Congratulations to Nier.
And Nier beat Damon as well with a 607 record.
They crushed us all.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
let's say we try to, as Neil's reward, he can come on the podcast with us sometime during the offseason.
That would be great. And yes. Then second place goes to Life of Ty. Doug, third place. And then Whore Islander, Preston Allen, Saints Fan UK. Then Damon. Neil is right under Damon. Dad to Twins, then Jeff and Jason, Who Dat Nutsack, Jimbull Rance, Wheels, Emmanuel, Zeno, Glenn Fitz, Hungry Who Dat, Alex Barbie, Ed Hunt, EJ, Fuck the Falcons, and A-Rod.
Very good. But the only one that really matters is the three of us who are on the podcast.
But yes.
And I am the champion.
Nir, go ahead and DM us on Twitter, and we'll schedule for when you will get on the show.
Right. So this is the first back-to-back wins.
Did you win last
year? No, you didn't win last year. I won last year.
I thought Jason won last year. Yeah.
Yeah, I won last year.
Did I win the year before?
No, I won the year before.
No, Jeff won the year before.
Nope. It hasn't been. Nope. Y'all are wrong. Y'all are terribly wrong. Jason. Like y'all always fuck this up.
Jason, do you have the
All right, hold on.
Historical record? Because I could have sworn I won.
Well,
Damon, you might have won the year before.
Hold on. I think that Damon won. Damon did win last year. I won the year before.
Oh, Jason, fucking up pick'ems again.
So this is a back to back for Damon.
Wow,
it's a historic, like the Falcons collapse. It's his historic win, first back to back.
Fuck,
going for the three-peat.
I should have taken the Patriots and just tied him.
But you didn't.
I didn't.
And Atlanta should have ran the ball three times and kicked the field goal. But they didn't. The Patriots are champs, and I am a champ.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. And that's your pick-ems for the week. For the year, actually. And that's going to bring us to final thoughts. Jason.
Yeah, I got nothing. I'm still on cloud nine from this Falcons choke job.
All right. Well, I think you're about to be brought down. Damon, final thought.
Well, again, let's all be thankful for the Falcons' historic epic collapse. But I'm surprised Jason doesn't have anything. What was Jason's final thought last week?
Something about golf.
You remember what your thing was last time you said, Jason?
Yeah, I remember. Tiger Week.
Tiger Week. You were so excited. So will you tell us what happened to Tiger?
Did he win?
He must have won, right?
Didn't win.
He didn't win? Son of a bitch. What did he do?
Missed the cut.
He what?
Missed the cut.
How did he do that? Oh, because he's a fucking washed up has-been. Now, someone said that last week, and you disagreed.
Right, because one week makes him a washed up has-been. Gotcha.
He's a washed up has-been, gotcha. Like Michael okay. Vick.
Okay.
Like Michael Vick.
He didn't make the cut. So what he actually did was shot a 77, didn't he? 5 over 77, is that what happened?
No, that was the following week in Dubai.
So not just the first week. I knew you'd do this. It wasn't just the first week. It was 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, so he had a couple of bad weeks. Big deal.
He's had several bad years.
He has.
He's making a comeback. Well, you have to play past Thursday to make a comeback. Okay, you have to play on Sunday.
He's got Saturday, more chance. He's got a lot more chances going forward.
I'm sure everyone will you know, he can play in every tournament from here to the end of eternity. And perhaps he'll make a cut one day. That would be exciting. That's what you need to pull for, that Tiger actually makes a cut.
I guess the thing is you kind of hang, all right, Tiger, at what point does his past success stop buying him whatever? Or does it ever?
I don't know that it ever will. If he wants to play in a tournament will gladly accept him.
But
100%.
Well, but
oh, no, he will.
Because in football, for example, 100%. What have you done for me lately?
Right, but this isn't football. It doesn't. And with a guy like Tiger, who's
look Tiger
best golfer ever.
Tiger in his prime.
I kind of feel like if Tiger is irrelevant for 10 years straight, then I'm going to stop paying attention. Or 5 years straight. I'm going to stop. He doesn't.
I'm sure a lot of people will.
No, right. Well, you said everybody was excited last week. Said everybody was excited. The only point was that no,
Tiger alarm?
They're not. Yes, I'm my Tiger alarm. And again, no one is denying Tiger's dominance in the early aughts. No one is denying that, Jason.
As of now, he still has a presence and people still care about him. But if he continues,
he is famous. He is still famous.
It's,
he is still it, famous. Yes.
He keeps doing this. At some point, you're right. It's
Tiger Woods is famous. I'm saying his golfing career as a competitive golfer in the PGA is over.
if I were somebody like Rory or, you know, or these guys that are have been kind of winning over the last few years, and Rory's the only one I know because I don't follow golf, but I mean, at some point I'd be like, you know what, guys, fuck this guy. Like, he's irrelevant. Like, what about us? What about us?
Okay, right, he's still irrelevant, but he still attracts viewers for now.
He's still famous, 100%.
For now, yeah.
He's famous. He's famous like Kim Kardashian.
Yeah, he is.
That's right.
Kind of like, yeah,
he's famous for being famous.
He's famous right now. Yeah, his golf is not. Like, I don't think we'll ever see what Tiger
used to do.
We're never going to see
that. No
shit. The draw that she used to?
We're never going to see that. But it doesn't mean he can't win again. I mean, guys have gone through slumps and come back. It happens.
Dude, he's had an 8-year slump.
He's not coming back.
He hasn't had an 8-year slump.
This is not a slump.
Do you think Tiger Woods is coming back?
This is not a slump. He might win a major. Here
he won't. He won't even. He
but that
never.
Is not a comeback.
He will never win a major.
Sure, it would be if he
if
won
he
a
would,
major. That's
if he would win a major, yes, it would be.
Yeah.
He will never win a major again. Never.
Okay. Well, that's never. I don't know anything about golf.
Atlanta has a better chance of winning the Super Bowl than Tiger does at winning a major. Okay. From here
whatever.
On.
Next week's going to be Tiger Week again. He's going to tee it up. We'll see what happens.
Let's keep the bar low. And to see if he can make the cut.
Start
how about
there.
That?
Let's start there.
Let's start there. Let's play competitive golf. Let's make the cut. His last outing, shot a 5 over 77.
Then he withdrew.
Over the first day, that put him at 121 out of 132 golfers.
That's someone you got to stop clinging and just.
Right. That's all we're saying, Jason.
Yeah,
Recognize. You just recognize that Michael Vick.
Totally different.
It has
totally
been.
Totally different.
No, not at all.
Yes, it is. Of course.
No,
right. You're right. It's not
at all. Well, different to the fact that even though Michael Vick was exciting when he
golfers
played.
Golfers can play and compete in their 50s. Phil Mickelson's still playing and competing at 40.
Tiger Woods can't compete at fucking 40.
Doesn't mean he can't at 41, 42.
What's this
he
problem?
Can't make
why can't he compete? I mean, what's wrong?
Well, he had severe injuries. You know, his swings are, and that's the problem. He's got an old man kind of swing. He says he's healthy.
Right, but that's the whole point. Like, when did he get these injuries?
Maybe he can't. In 2013, he won 5 times. So it's probably 2014.
No,
hold on. Damon, let him talk.
When he had his injury, it was probably 2014.
2015?
Probably 2015.
15, so 2 years ago, he got these injuries, and he's not recovered in 2 years. Is that normal?
I mean, he didn't play at all last year.
Okay. Is this normal for a golfer, or is this, like, y'all wait?
I mean, it's on it with an injury this severe. I mean, sure, but you never have. I mean, he's had 2 or 3 back surgeries.
So why should you expect that he would come back from it?
Just because he's the second greatest player of all time. It seems like he's too talented not to.
He was dominant.
But if the injury cripples you, then you're done. You've got to prepare yourself to accept that. I'm not saying that that's what it is, but you got to at least prepare yourself to accept that. Sounds like you're in denial. And denial ain't just a river.
Not denial. Anymore. I'm just saying you can't say, oh, he's over after 2 tournaments. You can't make a judgment like that.
It's not after 2 tournaments.
Yes, he played 2 tournaments. He missed a cut both tournaments, and it's further proof that he's done.
Okay.
Golfers have come back from prolonged. Now, look, a lot of golfers have not come back from prolonged slump. David Duval, he mentioned it.
But before,
this week on the broadcast,
the,
he got to number one in the world, won a major.
Hold on.
And completely
the
just
lost.
Stop.
Hold on,
first of all, let me expose Jason's lies.
Hold on. Let me finish my line of questioning and then you can.
Jesus.
Before the 2015 injuries, alleged injuries, that you bring up, what had he done? Before that, when was the last time he'd accomplished something? You said 2013?
He won 5 tournaments in 2013.
13.
Yes, didn't win a major, but won 5 tournaments. Like, nobody wins 5 tournaments in a season. Last year, the guy with the most wins.
And then he got hurt again.
Yeah.
Right.
And what caused that injury?
I think there was an article about him last year. Like, he really got big into working out and doing, like, Navy SEAL drills. And, like, his body just fell apart. Like, his Achilles had issues in his
back.
His body just gave out.
He's too old for that shit.
Well, and he's fucking stubborn. He definitely shouldn't be still working out. And then he shows up.
That's like
he's fucking jacked.
Okay,
that's like
stop
me trying to do a 20-year-old workout.
In the last 7 years, five of those years, he won no tournaments. And that's including last year, which, like you
we
said,
didn't
he didn't
play.
He didn't play.
Yeah,
okay.
Fine.
So from 2010, no tournament wins. 2011, no tournament wins. 2012, three tournament wins. 2013, Jason's almighty, five tournament wins. 14, nothing. 15, nothing. 16, he didn't play. 17,
he
can't make a cut.
He didn't play a lot in those years either.
Look, Tiger Woods was a dominant golfer at one time. His injuries come, they're simple. He was so dominant in the torque and the way he swung that club, tore his body up. And that's simple. That's his physical injuries. Now, the other problem he has on the course is the people he's playing with grew up watching Tiger. Tiger changed the way golf is played. And these people copied him. And they're younger. And at this moment, they're better than him.
Yeah, they're all better.
And he can't compete with them.
Not right now, he can't.
And not in the future.
Just not willing to write him off yet.
Because you're arrogant.
Because you don't write somebody off this soon.
I would agree that if his injury was in 2 years ago, and this is the first time he's only played two. Hold on, Damon. He's only played two tournaments.
But that's incorrect.
Okay, but he's only played two games or tournaments, whatever you want to call them in golf. two games. He's only stepped on the court.
He only played two games.
He's only stepped on the court once and served twice. Look, I mean, maybe it is a little too early to say he's completely done. I mean,
this entire season and struggle like this, you know, at the end of the season, you're like, okay, yeah, he's
right. Nobody's claiming that he's going to be the guy that he was.
Right. Well, again, he won. In the spirit of rooting for the winner. But again, not counting 16, 14, 15, no tournament wins.
How many starts?
Hold
many
on, Damon. In the spirit of rooting for the, in the spirit of the Patriots and rooting for the winner, and that was who he was.
Right.
What's wrong with wanting to see a guy like him make a comeback, like win every now and then?
No, it's fine. I pulled for him, but he's not Tiger Woods. Just like right now, Michael Jordan isn't Michael Jordan. Not the images that we conjure up when we think of these players.
But also, you keep going back to 2014 and 15. He was injured both those years. He only had 18 starts in those 2 years. He had 16 and 19 each year, the 2 years combined. So he only had 18 starts in 14 and 15. That's why he didn't win. He didn't play a lot because he was injured.
Right. And the 2 years before that, he had
the 2 years before that he won eight times.
Right. And the 2 years before those aberrations.
The 2 years before that he was also injured. He came off the scandal. You know, he only had 21 starts in those 2 years. Then he had 19 and 16, and then he had 18 and 16. So a myriad of factors.
He's done again. Out of his last full season, seven seasons, he's only two of them. He's only won a tournament, you know. So that's it. He's good. He was a great golfer at one time. Yes, he was. But he's older and he's playing younger kids. And you're right. Does injury play a part? Sure. I'm not saying there's not reasons why he's not. Yes, there's reasons why he's not dominating.
But stop
winning
expecting him
eight,
to be that
right,
guy.
Eight, nine.
Well, no, I'm not.
You know, tournaments a year.
I'm not expecting to be the guy.
There's a lot more talent
out there now. Like, all these kids are better than him.
Yes, he can go off and hit the little ball. Yes, he can.
He's the old man.
Yes, he can. He's the old man. He's Arnold Palmer before his time and Jack Nicklaus.
All right.
He's done.
And that is all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at the Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on iTunes, Android, or Google Play, there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadcom.
You see how I'm doing it with my Atlanta drawl? Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Atlanta Championship Gear Donkeys.
Thank you, Atlanta, for a great end to the season. Who dat? Good night, Who Dat Nation.
There it is, okay.
Right.
I get delirious whenever you're near. Girl, you gotta take control, cause I just can't steal. Just too much to take. I can't stop, I ain't got no brakes. Girl, you gotta take me for a little ride up and down, in and out around your leg. I'm delirious. You get me delirious. Baby, let me down. Yeah.